Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center, and you are listening to a show on life. Every single week we meet on Tuesday nights from 5 to 6, and we talk about life, we talk about hope, we talk about legislative issues going on around the country, just pro-life work in general, and tonight is no different. So you may be listening right now on your way home from work, and we certainly appreciate that. You might be sitting at home. I know last week my mom sent me a text. Yesterday, my mom sent me a text, and she listened to me on the Bob Bell Show yesterday morning because she was listening live from her home online. So you have that opportunity as well, wrjz.com. We'll have this up in podcast form sometime tomorrow, so you can find it on iTunes and our website, investinghope.com. So plenty of different avenues to hear the show, and we certainly appreciate, again, you listening. Today, what we're going to do is we're just going to look at some life issues that are going around. So we're gonna talk about an article that was recently published about. I saw it because I follow Planned Parenthood on Twitter, and they pushed the article from their Twitter account, and it is arguing that crowdfunding, so places like GoFundMe and other places online, should be able to assist those that are wanting abortions. So the article is upset because currently these crowdfunding websites are not letting those fundraisers happening. So they're not allowing for people to get on there and try to raise money for an abortion. And we're going to look at that and discuss why that's a good thing. Why is it important that we not allow that? But first, what I want to do is kind of get into some issues that I think is important as pro-lifers that we look at. So I want to talk about miscarriage, and I want to talk about Mere Christianity, a book from C.S. Lewis. And you may be saying, well, what do those two things have to do with each other? Well, one of the things is Mere Christianity is an amazing book by C.S. Lewis. It's a book based off of some radio addresses that he did years and years ago. And I've started to reread the book. I pulled it off the bookshelf today. And the first 30 or so pages, what C.S. Lewis deals with is he is looking at trying to make the argument for a God. And so before he dives into Christianity, before he dives into religion, before he dives into the gospel in this book, what he does is he kind of sets the stage. And he looks at moral law, and he looks at why it is that we as humans, why do we tend to kind of make decisions? So why is it that we just know what is good and what is bad? Now, some people would say, well, no one truly knows what is good and bad, but just think about it for a second. We don't teach, and these are some of the examples that C.S. Lewis uses. We don't teach our kids to be selfish, right? That's not a, there's a book that we have for our son that's called, that we have for all of our kids, and it's called Minosaur, and it's about a dinosaur that doesn't want to share, and he's called a Minosaur because everything is his, and he doesn't want to share with his friends. Well, we're not teaching our kids to be Minosaurs. We're not looking, when we're interviewing people to work for us, we're not looking for selfish people. We're not celebrating those that are selfish. We celebrate unselfishness. And C.S. Lewis's point with that is that we all naturally understand there is a good and there is a bad. And so we tend to lean toward the goodness in people and doing good for others. And then he goes further and says, the reason that we do that isn't because of just that we have a herd mentality. He said that some people have written to him and said, well, we have those because it's a herd mentality. And so we go along with the crowd. It's been passed down for generations to be unselfish and to just do good things. But it's more than that. And that's the point. It's more than that. We want to look at life, we want to look at decisions, we want to look at things that we're doing to say that we are doing these things because there's a greater good out there. There's something greater than us that is kind of driving our decisions, that is driving our values, that is driving the way we lead our homes and the way we interact with people and the way we have conversations, because we always lean toward goodness. And I bring all of that up to pivot and look at the topic of the day in life, abortion, and what I want to get into with miscarriage. Because when we see political candidates, when we see our neighbors, when we see people that we go to church with, when we see these folks flippantly talk about abortion, when we see these folks flippantly talk about a baby inside the womb, what people need to understand and what people need to grasp is this isn't just flippant talk. This isn't an issue that we just cast to the side. And the reason I say that is because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have dealt with miscarriage. So when you say that's not a baby, when you say it's a blob of cells, when you say it's just tissue, then what are you saying to that family that has gone through and dealt with miscarriage? And I can speak to this because I have personal experience. My wife and I have lost a child to miscarriage. Would have been our second child. Even now at times when I tell people how many children I have, I say three. But there's something inside of me that wants to go, well, actually four, but one of them was lost very early on in the pregnancy. But then there's the other part of me that says, but then I'm going to have to explain to them and all of these things. So when we flippantly talk about abortion, when we flippantly talk about blob of cells or the woman's choice, or it really isn't a baby yet, the baby doesn't have constitutional rights until it takes a breath, or even some would say until it is walked out of the hospital. When we do these things, we are looking at the families that have dealt with miscarriage and saying, why are you crying? Why are you mourning? Why are you upset? That was just a blob of cells. But the reality is, it's not a blob of cells to us. That was a child to us. That was a child that we wanted to have, that we prepared to have. We were thinking about a baby bed and preparing a room and all of those things at our home. We were thinking about our family growing. So to discount that and say that it doesn't matter, well, that's wrong. But the reason I brought up Mere Christianity and C.S. Lewis's points is because society doesn't do that. When I've discussed miscarriage with people and I've told mine and my wife's story, or I blogged about it or anything like that, I've had tons of people come up to me, and not one, even pro-choicers, not one came up to me and said, well, you shouldn't be upset. It was just a blob of cells. You know why they didn't say that to me? Because there was something inside of them that says that would be a wrong thing to say to a family mourning the loss, even in miscarriage. Why? Because there's something out there, and there's something inside of all of us that says we know right and we know wrong. And that's why people haven't come up to me and Aaron and said, why are you upset? Why are you mourning? And that's why presidential candidates and other candidates celebrate their grandchildren being born. From the first time they were told that their child was pregnant, they celebrate that. Why? Even when they're pro-choice, they celebrate that. Why? Because something inside of them is saying, this is a life worth celebrating. This is my grandchild. And so that's why it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to act as if this is an issue that needs to be flippantly discussed, or an issue that needs to be painted as two extremes. Because what we know is people are always anxious to celebrate pregnancy, no matter at what stage. I watched a video today of a young couple, and the wife was making the announcement to her husband, and it was a cute way of doing it, and just watching them interact with each other and watching the happiness and watching the joy that came over both of their faces. And you could tell she was very early in her pregnancy. The husband didn't look at her and say, but honey, this is a blob of cells. I mean, what are we celebrating? But honey, this is just fetal tissue. It's not even a... I mean, why are we making a big deal about this? Well, of course he didn't say that. even in instances where people choose abortion, they're not flippantly making those decisions. And so I think it's important that as pro-lifers, we disagree wholeheartedly with abortion. But we make a mistake when we act as if there's tons of people out there flippantly choosing that as the option. Because there may be some that do that, but most of them, it is a deep, deep struggle. And so we need to understand that. Even in our conversations, we need to understand that. And so as we look through this, and as we continue with the show today, as we talk about life, we need to understand as pro-lifers and as believers and as people that celebrate life every single day that our words matter. And so when we see that family that is dealing with miscarriage, when we see that family that is struggling with the options in front of them, that we not flippantly discuss those things. And that we get a better understanding of why we are moved to be unselfish, of why we are moved to love our neighbor, of why we are moved to care about the stranger. And that greater movement is the gospel. It is God. It is the Creator that has imprinted that in all of us as He knitted us together in our mother's womb. That is who we are. That is what we have to do when we have those conversations. And so when we flippantly have those discussions about miscarriage and other things, then we are harming those families. And so let us be ones that celebrate life. Let us be ones that would have a conversation with someone that does want to have that, does want to say those things flippantly, and we look at them and say, no, wait, you need to understand what is going on. You need to understand how important life is. And our words need to match our actions. And our words need to match our beliefs and our values. Because, folks, if we want to see a pro-life culture, if we want to see a culture of death turn into a culture of life, then we must stop having and looking at these issues in a flippant manner. We must look at them as what they are, and it's the greatest gift we've ever seen, is the gift of life. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So the theme of the day is there's something greater out there, something greater than us. And as believers, if you're a believer listening to the show, you're like, well, of course, it's God. But there is something greater that motivates us and that moves us and that drives us in our conversations. It drives us in our beliefs. It drives us in our values, or at least it should. Now, at times we fail and we allow other things to be our drivers, but ultimately the God of the universe should be driving us in our decisions, that's inside of everyone. So this isn't just Christians. This is non-believers as well. Now, they may argue with me on that point, but we can just look at everything around us. Why else would they do good? Why else would they help their neighbor? Why else would they not kill? Why else would they not steal? Why else would they not fill in the blank? The reason why we want to help people, the reason why we're just motivated to be nice or hold that door or give someone the buggy at the grocery store or give someone that parking spot is because ultimately there's something inside of us saying, others before me. Now, I know that you may be thinking, well, man, there's a lot of selfish people. Well, yes, sure they are. We live in a broken and fallen universe, no question. But ultimately, everyone has that something that says, hold on, this may not be okay. And this takes me to an article that I recently read concerning abortion and crowdfunding sites. Now, I just want to read you parts of the article, and then we'll discuss. It says, when YouCaring and GoFundMe, which are two crowdsourcing, crowdfunding websites, insert themselves as barriers to abortion, they become little more than enablers and perpetrators of shame and stigma. This behavior, now, listen to this. These GoFundMe pages, these crowdfunding websites are private websites. Private, they're not ran by the government. They are private websites. Now, listen to what this author says. It prevents those who are most in need of assistance from getting the support that may save their lives. Now, again, it is arguing that this need of an abortion would save this female's life. Now, let's see if that is the case. There appears to be no major crowdfunding site that allows people to use their social networks to fundraise for an abortion. I found this out less than a week ago after a teenage student whom I've worked with over the summer called me frantically, seeking $375 that I did not have so she could get a medication abortion before she approached the 10-week deadline that would nullify her access to the drug that would terminate her pregnancy. Now let me stop there for a second. So we have a teenager pregnant. She needs $375 to get a medical-induced abortion. And here it says, before they approach the 10-week deadline. That is true. There's in the 10 weeks of pregnancy, you can have a medical-induced abortion. That is taking a pill and then going from there. Now, what we know is there's abortion clinics that kind of look at that 10-week period as maybe that's just a suggestion, and they go even further, which is dangerous to the female, but they don't care because they get their money. And so they are driven by profit. They're driven by how much money they can make off of this patient. Of course, the author of this article is not going to talk about that. Now, she's not going to talk about the abortion clinics and the amount of money that they make off of these poor women and men that don't have the money to pay for these services. But you know, we'll digress. So before those words were fully out of her mouth, my response was a swift and immediate, of course. So didn't even talk about it. Yes, I'll help you pay for the abortion. In preparing to help her raise money, we explored all of our options. Did she see if her insurance would cover it? Did she ask her abortion provider if they have a clinic-specific fund to lower the cost of the procedure? Did she try a regional abortion fund? Did she call friends and family? Did she explore any of the dozens of ways to raise cash for her abortion? She answered yes to these questions, but was still unable to cover the cost of the abortion she was intent on having. In a last-ditch effort, we created a You Caring page, citing a need for support with medical expenses to raise the rest of the funds she needed before her appointment. Her fundraiser was not up for 20 minutes before she received the following message from YouCaring, and the message simply says, YouCaring focuses on bringing communities together in support of non-divisive causes. In this case, we feel there could be conflict stemming from abortion, the use of our platform to raise funds. So by naming abortion access as divisive, YouCaring offered a flippant dismissal of those in need of important and imperative health care. And to be clear, abortion is health care. This is the words of the author. Now listen to this. She's saying that this YouCare site is being flippant. And she's also saying that this health care for this teenager was imperative, meaning that if she doesn't get this abortion, I mean, that's what I would mean. That's what I would take. If she doesn't get this abortion, something terrible may happen to her. And then she goes further. This is not the first time a major crowdfunding site for personal expenses has discriminatorily denied those seeking abortion access in a fundraising space. In 2014, GoFundMe banned content related to abortions because these fundraisers were not, quote unquote, appropriate for the site, as they contained subject matter that GoFundMe would rather not be associated with. But GoFundMe and YouCaring have affirmed that users can raise money for medical expenses, except for the legal, safe, and necessary medical procedure they would rather not be associated with, which, again, she's pointing to abortion. And then she uses the flawed stat, 1 in 3 people with a uterus will have an abortion. That's not true. You can Google it, and you're going to see a lot of places that say 1 in 3 women. A lot of folks would argue that case. That is not the true statistic. In a country where black women have the same maternal mortality rates as those in developing nations, where we lack a federal minimum wage that allows people to afford a 2-bedroom apartment at market rent, and where there is no federal legislation mandating paid paternal leave, health insurance for undocumented people, or Medicaid, Medicare, military coverage for abortion, crowdfunding sites like YouCaring and GoFundMe are crucial mediums where gestational parents can seek community support in ending a pregnancy. Now it's gone to, well, they just want this abortion. See, the article started with, if she doesn't get this abortion, something terrible may happen to her. And now we're at, well, she just can't afford it. She needs it. She wants it. For low-income people, abortion care is denied at almost every step. Insurance carriers aren't required to pay for abortion coverage as part of the reproductive health care. The Hyde Amendment prevents people on Medicaid, Medicare, and military insurance from accessing abortion care. Now, you can go on Twitter and you can look up Hyde Amendment, and you will see story after story after story of kids that are now adults who were given an opportunity at life because of the Hyde Amendment. And now they're saying we need to get rid of that, which is looking at those humans, those people, those lives, and saying, you don't have value. You should have never been born. And abortion funds, which provide direct financial support to those seeking abortion care, often can only pledge a portion of the cost, which can run upwards of $1,000. That doesn't include factors like child care, transportation, and lodging, thanks to clinic inaccessibility and mandatory waiting periods that drive up expenses. Crowdfunding sites epitomize the old adage, a little bit goes a long way. So again, I could continue reading, but I'm not going to. So their answer, they want a private business on the internet. They're wanting them to just do whatever they want them to do. And, well, it doesn't work that way. They're also wanting the government to step in and provide all of these costs. And the reason I bring this up because there's a greater reason why these crowdfunding websites are not allowing this. And it's because there's something inside of all of us that says, I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's okay. This is another reason why abortion clinics have to charge so much money. Because they're not having, except for the largest abortion clinic in the country that gets $500 million from the government, they don't have donors stepping up all the time to give them money. Why? Because there's something deep inside of all of us that says, yeah, I don't think that's okay. And so when they're talking about the cost of abortion, when they're talking about the need for the government to fund abortions, the reason why people have an issue with that is because something inside all of us says, I don't think I'm okay with that. But my question would go further. At Hope Resource Center, now we don't provide abortions, but at Hope Resource Center, we don't receive federal money. We don't receive state money. And we offer all of our services at no cost. So why wouldn't these abortion clinics do that? If they care deeply about these women, and it wasn't about how much money they can make off abortions, then why not provide those abortions at no cost? If it was all about that female and getting her help, well, wouldn't you just immediately take out the cost issue if you just took care of it? Wonder why they don't do that. Because they want to make money off of them, folks. So understand that. They can argue all they want, but the issue there is they want to make money. And at Hope Resource Center, there's a difference. We welcome them into our building as a patient, and then we don't charge them a dime. Why? Because we love them deeply and we want to serve them and help them. And that's what we're there for. We'll be back in a sec.
So shout it from the rooftops. The truth has come. His name is Jesus.
Hey, we're back in Andrew Wood. Thank you so much for listening. So as we look at the issues facing our country and facing the world and kind of walking through the life issue, I think it's important that we understand, right? So the article that I just read in the last segment, when I read that, I get angry. My initial reaction is very angry, and wanting to say bad things and really just go to a place that I don't need to go to. But I do want to point out that a lot of times as pro-life clinics, we are labeled a number of different things. And I've talked about this on past shows. I blogged about it. You know, And we are labeled extremists, and we are labeled hateful, and we are labeled women haters, and, you know, the list goes on and on. But I do want you to understand that there are 2,500 plus clinics across this country, like Hope Resource Center, that are offering services like Hope Resource Center, and that are not paying receiving a dime from the patient. Now, why do I point that out? I point that out because at Hope, you come in for a pregnancy test, you don't pay anything. You come in for an ultrasound, you don't pay anything. You go to that abortion clinic, pregnancy test is going to cost you money. $10 maybe. And if it doesn't cost you money, it's going to cost your insurance company money. If you don't have insurance, it may cost the state money. Then you go in for an ultrasound. Again, at Hope, absolutely no cost. No cost to you, no cost to your insurance, no cost to the state. Right? It's a win for everybody. You go to that abortion clinic. What's that ultrasound going to cost? Well, it depends. It could cost $150, could cost $200. Now, again, that's either the patient has to come up with that money, or the patient's insurance will have to come up with that money, or who? The state or the federal government will have to come up with that money. When we throw out that number that the largest abortion clinic in the country receives $500 million a year from the federal government, that isn't necessarily the federal government writing a check to them. But what that comes in is reimbursements. So they'll turn that into the different insurances or the government insurance or whatever, and then they're reimbursed that money. So that's where those funds come from. Now, then they would say, well, there's a law that none of that money actually goes to abortion. But what it does, folks, is it goes to an abortion clinic. What do abortion clinics do? They perform abortions. Now, yes, they do a lot of other things. I'm not going to call them good things. And why am I not going to do that? And why is it dangerous when we say, well, they do a lot of good things. If we could just stop the abortion, it would be okay. They do a lot of good things. Can we not overlook the abortion issue? Well, we can't say that because we wouldn't say that about someone in our community. And always the analogy that I always use is back in the day with the mafia. You know, you go to New York, you know, I'm from Middle Tennessee and from a very small town. We didn't have the mafia. But from everything that I can tell, you in New York and different places where you had the mob, they did a lot of good things for the community. Thanksgiving, they would give turkeys out to the poor. They loved their mom and they respected their mom and they were, you know, very respectful. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. A lot of the people in the community loved them. Kids looked up to the mob bosses because they had power and they always gave back to their community. But what else did they do? When the sun went down, what did they do? They went to businesses and they shook them down and they made them pay. They killed people. They beat people up. They sold drugs to those communities. So no one would say, but man, they did a lot of good things. They gave us a turkey at Thanksgiving. Well, no. Because the bad outweighed that. And so when we look at these issues, and when we look at the largest abortion provider, when we look at all abortion clinics, and the argument that they make is, well, y'all just don't care about women, and y'all don't care about reproductive rights. That's what they say about us. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. Of course we care about women. That's why we open our doors. Because we care about women, and we care about little baby girls. And we care about men, and we care about little baby boys. And we care about families. That's the truth. And the part that really irks me is when we're labeled as these things, and we're seeing, you know, up to maybe 10 patients every single day, and we're not charging a dime to those patients. And then the other side wants to come at me and say that I'm extremist and I'm a nut job and I hate women when they're charging every customer that comes in their door. And that's what they are to them. They're customers. The people that come to Hope are not our customers. They're patients. They are people that we love. And we're happy to provide the services for them. And so I bring all of that up today so that, we can get a better understanding, so that we can get a better understanding of, how precious life is, a better understanding that Hope Resource Center, we care deeply about the men and women in this community. That's why our staff gets up every day. That's why we serve those that walk in. That's why we're scheduling appointments. That's why I'm on here every Tuesday. That's why I have meetings with pastors. That's why I speak at churches. That's why I have meetings with potential donors. Because in order to serve the people we want to serve, it has to be funded, and we're not going to allow the patients to fund it. Does that make sense? Our goal is not to make money off of our patients. Our goal is that we will love our patients and that we will provide the care for our patients that is needed. That's what we are there for. And so that, thing that's inside of you, that, deep longing, even when you have conversations with your friends, that thing that's inside of you that says, you know, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, that's not something you had for lunch. Okay, that was put inside of you by the creator of the universe. That all of us understand right from wrong, good and bad. That doesn't mean we always get it right. That doesn't mean we're always perfect. But that's why our words and our actions should match. That's why you can't look at Hope Resource Center and the 2,500 plus pro-life clinics across the country and say you don't care about women. You can't say that. It's not true. It's just simply not true. And the we can prove that over and over again with, story after story after story of why it's not true. So that's what I want us to understand. That when we have these discussions, and when we read articles or hear things that people say, and we want to react in immediate anger or frustration, I would urge you not to act out. Don't let your anger and your frustration drive you. Again, let the creator of the universe drive you. Be willing to have that conversation. Be willing to pose the tough questions, and you better be willing to answer the tough questions and defend your point of view. Because if we can't, then we'll never move forward. Because I can assure you, the other side are prepared to defend their point of view. So the question is, are we prepared to have those conversations? And folks, it starts, you know, like I started the show off by talking about miscarriage. It starts there with us as pro-lifers. Are we treating even fellow believers the way they need to be treated when they're dealing with loss, when they're dealing with infertility, when they're dealing with maybe an unplanned pregnancy and they're struggling? Are we offering judgment or love? Are we demanding something from them, or do we have mercy and grace for them? Folks, this isn't easy. Standing for our beliefs isn't easy. Standing for values, going against the grain, it isn't easy. But I can assure you that it's the right thing. I can assure you, you won't regret it. And so as we have these life conversations, as we read articles and look at the political landscape and look through all of that, is our answer one of life or one of death? And what response do we have to those that would seek to celebrate death over life? Are we prepared to give that response? We'll be back. back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. If you want to learn more about Hope, you can go to investinghope.com. If you're in need of services at Hope, you can go to Hope, KnoxvilleHope.com. And if you want to hear this show, maybe you weren't able to listen to the whole show on air, you can listen to the podcast we'll have up tomorrow. It'll be on iTunes and also on our website. We have a blog on our website as well. And so a lot of things going on at Hope Resource Center. One thing that I would ask of you is if you would just pray for our staff, pray for our patients, as we just continue to serve this community. We could not do this work without you. If you have questions for me, you can email me at andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Maybe you want to volunteer, you want to step up, you want to assist, or you want to donate, whatever that looks like. You know, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to discuss those things with you. So the theme today was, we started with Mere Christianity and C.S. Lewis. And I started there because his point in the first 30 or so pages is to say that there is something greater out there. We are not simply living in a herd mentality. We didn't come up with all this stuff on our own. We didn't come up with what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong on our own. There was something greater out there that has put that inside of us, that is motivating us and leading us to something else. And that something greater is God. And so when we have conversations about life issues, when we have conversations with families that have struggled with miscarriage or infertility or fill in the blank, then we do that from a standpoint of grace and mercy and love. And even those that don't stand with us when it comes to the local church, when it comes to Christianity, ultimately there's something inside of them that says, my neighbor matters. The stranger matters. This family that is dealing with miscarriage matters. So because of that, we understand kind of where we are in that scenario. And that also then drives us in having conversations. The gospel drives us in how we respond to certain articles that we disagree with, or conversations or point of views that we disagree with, or stances that we disagree with. And so if we know that, and if we let the gospel drive us, then it will change the way we talk to people. It will change the way we see this upcoming election. It will change the way we deal with the person, the stranger on the road, the stranger at the store. Because then we'll start seeing them as image bearers and people that matter and people that have value. But if we don't let the gospel drive us, if we don't allow that thing inside of us to lead us, our conscience to lead us, our thought process that God has implemented in our lives to lead us, then we start living a life that says, I matter more than the person next to me. Selfishness is celebrated. The do what makes you happy mentality is celebrated over do what is right. And so as you look at these life issues, it isn't just about a baby inside of a womb. It isn't just about a mom in crisis. It is about so much more than that. If we are going to celebrate a pro-life ethic, if we are going to celebrate a pro-life mindset, then yes, it includes that baby in the womb, but it certainly includes that mom carrying that baby, the dad involved, the family involved. It certainly means that family that is dealing with infertility, the family that has dealt with miscarriage. If we're going to be pro-life, we are pro-life fully, not just pro-baby, not just pro-inside the womb. That's the final thought today. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Run to you and you alone. When my days are few and death is near, I run to you and you alone. Lift your head.